You can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. We sang some birthday celebrations tonight, and as many of us know, just a few days ago was Jesus Christ's birthday. So I wanted to share tonight on how we can pinpoint the day that Jesus Christ was born. And we can do it from the Word of God. Tradition holds that Jesus was born on Christmas Day, right? December 25th. But the truth is that this date has its roots in pagan solar festivals and was likely chosen as a result of that, because there wasn't great record keeping back in biblical times, and so a couple centuries later, people were trying to come up with what day was Jesus Christ born, and it kind of got mingled together with that. So while celebrating and recognizing the birth of our Lord and Savior is important and it's fun to do around Christmas, as always, the Bible holds the truth regarding the actual date. And so Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And the word tax there is to register, to register. And oftentimes that was for taxation purposes, but in this particular case, it was for to register for an allegiance to Caesar Augustus in honor of his 25th anniversary of rule. So he basically called everybody from the Roman Empire to come register their allegiance to him. Verse 2, "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed or registered, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Okay, so one of the first clues that we get here is that that this wasn't in December, is that there was a travel requirement behind this registration. Okay, so if it was truly around December 25th, it would have been very cold, and the weather in the lands and times of the Bible, especially in the Middle East, were very harsh in the winters. Very wet, very cold, and dangerous to be traveling. It's not like they had nice little comfy cars to ride in, right? They're out in the open weather. So it was unlikely that they would call for a registration at that time of year. Not impossible, but unlikely. Verse 5, "To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And a manger is like a little, you know, vessel or trough type thing where they would put hay in for the animals to eat out of, in like the stalls. So that's where Jesus was laid, because there was no room at the actual inn. Verse 8, "And there were in the same country," that same area, "shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by what? Night." So that's our second clue. Again, if this was the dead of winter, it is very unlikely that shepherds would be out in the middle of the night tending their flocks. That's very common in the summer months, the warmer months, for them to sleep out in the open air with their fold. But when it got really cold and nasty out, they usually brought the sheep in for the night. So the fact that they were out there at night seems to indicate the wrong period of time there. So, too cold for travel and for night flocks. So probably not December. And verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So this is the record of Jesus' birth. And those two indicators that December is not likely the real time of his birth. So let's try to get a better idea of it. Go back a chapter to Luke 1, verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5 says, There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Okay, so there's a lot of information in this verse, but a prominent piece of information here is that Zechariah was of the course of Abia. Okay, and what that means is in 1 Chronicles 23 and 24, King David separates out the priesthood into 24 divisions. These different courses, as they're called. And their job was, part of their job was twice a year, they had to visit the temple in Jerusalem for a specific week. And everybody had their own week, right? So if you were the course of Abia, this is your week. Okay? So he was of the course of Abia. And in this case, the week of service that he would be there would be at the end or the last week of the month of May. Okay, so that helps us to get some time frame. Verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, good old Zach and Liz, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, so there it is, he is there executing his duty according to his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So that was his duty. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name what? John. So Zacharias was not in there praying for a son. That wasn't his job. His job was to pray for Israel. Okay? And that's what he was doing. But the answer to his prayer for Israel was a son. Isn't that cool? They weren't expecting a kid. She was barren. They were well stricken in years. But here the answered prayer would be the son, John the Baptist. Okay? And this is important because John's birth and conception allows us to figure out the time frame of Mary's conception. So we're going to go to verse 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, so the end of his service, he departed into to his own house. He went back home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth, what? Conceived. Okay. Conceived. And hid herself 5 months. Saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So, it happened shortly after they got home from the service, according to the course of Abia, she conceived. So that would put her conception in early June, okay, because the course ended in May. So she conceives in June. Verse 26, And in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. What's 6 months after June? It's December. December. So in the sixth month, December, the angel Gabriel goes to Galilee, the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. This is Jesus' mother. Okay, so now, 6 months into the pregnancy of Elizabeth, we have the angel visiting Mary. And this is what he tells Mary. Verse 28, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Okay? That's awesome. Big news. You're going to have the Son of God. I mean, imagine that. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, Well, how can this be, seeing I know not a man, I'm a virgin? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Okay. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste. So right after getting this wonderful message, she learns that her cousin, who was hiding the pregnancy, is pregnant. The angel told her. So she's like, I'm going to go see her. And that's what she does. Verse 40, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. John did a backflip. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And here she prophesies. And she spake with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. From whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So the conception is what? Complete. Right? The prophecy that is being told to her right now is this. Your womb is filled with the Son of God, the Savior, the Lord. For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her of the Lord. And Mary said, My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. All right, so we've got some dates. We've got some dates. So these are the events of 4 and 3 BC. In May, Gabriel visits Zechariah and tells him, You're going to have a son. In June, when he returns, Elizabeth is pregnant. You add 6 months to that, and you get December. And Gabriel visits Mary, and she gets pregnant. And if you add 9 months to that, you get September, right? So when the baby should be born would be 9 months after conception, and it would be sometime in September. All right. So there is further evidence, biblical evidence, to back up this month. Let's go to Revelation 12, verse 1. Revelation 12. Everyone's favorite book. You read it every day, I'm sure. Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 1. So this revelation was given to John, and this passage that we're going to read talks about both past and future events from John's perspective. And there appeared a great wonder, a great wonder. Okay, a great wonder where? In heaven. Okay, so whenever the Bible talks about a wonder in heaven, it is an astronomical sign or celestial body of some kind. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, an astronomical sign, a celestial body, a woman clothed with the sun. So that's a bit of a clue. We have a woman constellation. Her name is Virgo. And we know that God put his word in the stars, and Virgo was to be the Virgin Mary, right? That's what it represents. Clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And this is talking about the great battle between the adversary and God when he was cast out, taking a third of the angels with him. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And we know the adversary, his whole plan was to kill the Christ line from the very beginning. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Okay, so we know that's what happened, right? Jesus Christ died for us, went resurrected, ascended. Fantastic. So we're going to go back to verse 1 here real quick. But the Virgo constellation looks like this. These little dots are stars, and I drew the representation around it. But it talks about in verse 1 how the woman would be clothed with the sun and the moon would be under her feet. Okay, that sounds like great imagery, but it's actually referring to celestial events. Okay? So this record, verses 1 and 2, talk about her delivering Jesus Christ. And when that happened, the sun was in, she was clothed with the sun, and the sun would have been her, in her midsection of the constellation, and the moon would be at her feet. Okay? And those things actually happened. The sun appears in the midsection of Virgo approximately for 3 weeks every year. That time range is between August 27th and September 15th in 3 BC. So we have like a 3-week range for when the sun would be about here. With the moon under her feet is the second part of the clue. And that's the part that's really cool, because the moon also being visible along with the sun in Virgo happens on a single day. And that single day is September the 11th in 3 BC. So in that year, it was a Wednesday. So based on this record and charting out stars and all that kind of stuff, we can determine that Christ's birthday was September the 11th of 3 BC. Now, the neat thing about that day is it would have been the first of the month called Tishri on the Jewish calendar. Go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, verse 23. There are two different Jewish calendars that are referenced in the Bible. There's a civil calendar, and there's sort of like a religious calendar, or one that marked religious and special events. And the reason for that is God gave Moses a different start of the year after the Exodus. But the original Jewish calendar started in September. That's why Rosh Hashanah coming up this week. It's Happy New Year's for the Jewish people. Okay? That's the original Jewish calendar. And so Jesus Christ's birthday, as far as the civil calendar goes, the original Jewish calendar was New Year's Day. Pretty cool, right? So it would have been on the first day of the first month, New Year's Day. in the new calendar that God gave to Moses, it's the seventh month. And Leviticus 23, verse 23 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, Tishri, in the first day of the month, which happens to be Jesus Christ's birthday, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Okay? And so the other piece that's just kind of cool about this is that Jesus Christ's birthday, Tishri 1, is a day of trumpets, a day of celebration. So on Jesus Christ's birthday that day, while they're hanging out in the manger, laying the kid out and nursing him and everything, off in the distance was this blowing of trumpets and celebration all day long. All day long. Because with God there is no coincidence and no accident, right? So on Jesus Christ's birthday, there were, unbeknownst to most of the people doing this, that Savior was born, and there he was with great celebration. Pretty cool, right? So that's sort of the biblical story behind how we know that Jesus Christ was indeed born in September and not December 25th, and how great God is to have, you know, just mapped out all of that stuff. You know, when he's got his time to do something, it's the right time. He's never late. And it's no accident or no coincidence when it comes to God's timing.